I was very grieved to see the death of our brave men in this recent helicopter crash in Afghanistan. I don't know why they show the pictures of these men, but they're the finest and the youngest and the strongest that we have to offer. And I sincerely hope that we always have our armed services in our prayers as they go off to battle. How many here have gone through basic training? How many here have enjoyed basic training? Oh, liars. You did this. You lied in church. Come on. I remember basic training in the Army. I had signed up with the Army Reserves many, many years ago, 19. After I signed up, I was off to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. Does anybody know that? Fort Lawson Woods, Missouri, we call it, or Little Korea. Remember? Cold in the wintertime, hot in the summer, and sometimes you couldn't tell when summer and winter was coming. But the first 12 weeks, of course, of your time of service is in basic military training, and then the next 12 weeks is of specialty training within your field. My field was as a water purification specialist. Don't fear, I don't do that anymore, so the water is safe to drink. But I remember my first night of the hurry up and waiting. I mean, that's typical armed services. Come on, hurry up, and then you wait. Hurry up, and then you wait. Then it came for the time which we started putting on the clothes. The fatigues and the boots and all that. And then there was a time for our haircuts. I must say my hair was pretty long. Matter of fact, it might have been down to here. And I took great pride in my hair at that time. So I asked, I said, I went in there and they're getting ready to give me a nice haircut. And they asked me how I would like it cut. Imagine that. I'd love it. I thought, just trim the sides, keep it long in the back. They said, okay, you got a soldier. And then I looked like this. Oh, they lied. They lied. But for one of the first times in my life, I was physically pushed to my limit and pushed to my, my endurance, sit-ups and push-ups and full military backpack and you name it, we were forced to do it. I learned discipline there, and I learned the chain of command. I also learned from hardened drill instructors who were experienced from the Vietnam War, and they knew how to fight battles, and they knew the enemy. I learned from fellow soldiers who soon became a team in their endeavors. And when you talk about the mighty, when you talk about a band of brothers, you understand that when you're in the services. Because you're drilling so close with these individuals and you're staying with them real close. But you become a team. You become one. And I guess the saddest part that I had is that after I was done, I could go home while the others may have gone to Vietnam. And there's some sadness about that. And I trusted those in command. Because it was their desire that we survive any future battles. That's what their desires were. And we were focused on the task at hand and not distracted from doing our job as soldiers. We weren't distracted. I certainly cannot say it was a pleasant experience. Can some of you? Yeah, Jim enjoyed it. Yes, God. Yet it taught me a lot about myself, and it taught me a lot about others. One thing it taught me is that if you train hard, you realize how much you can accomplish physically. Right, guys? And I learned discipline and endurance even to eventually running a marathon. Because I knew that if I train hard, that's attainable. That's a goal. Well, let's go back to Paul, the Apostle Paul. Let's look back now. I can only imagine the endurance that Paul must have had being a soldier in Christ. And how much he accomplished. You know, he accomplished an awful lot. He started an awful lot of churches. But it wasn't without conflict. It wasn't without hardships. It wasn't easy as a soldier of God. And he says this in 2 Corinthians. Here's what he said. Here's what he had to battle. Paul says, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times beaten by rods, once pelted with stones, 3 times shipwrecked, spent a night and day in the open sea, in dangers from rivers, bandits, fellow Jews, Gentiles, endangering the city, country, at sea, and from false believers. That's a soldier of Christ. That's what Paul had to endure. And Paul had all the great characteristics of a soldier fighting for the faith of others. And we also know that Paul had a passion to train others, train churches, especially train young Timothy on becoming a good soldier in Christ. So we begin part 2 in the series called A Soldier for Christ, with a message called The Characteristics of a Warrior. And we'll be looking at 2 Timothy. And our scripture reading comes from 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, and 8 through 13. Why don't you turn to your Bibles on that? 2 Timothy. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's page 842. 842 in your Pew Bible. 2 Timothy 1 through 4 and 8 through 13. But before we start, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I want to be a soldier for Christ. Why don't you do that? And the question is, are you up to the task? Okay, because we're going to go through basic training here. Basic training. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 and 8 through 13. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you. We come to you as a church. We come to you as your soldiers, Lord. We ask, Lord, to teach us how to become trained, how to endure the spiritual battles that come against us. Teach us, Lord, how to reach out to those people that are different than us. Teach us, Lord, how to be mighty men and mighty women of valor. Lord, we come to you in the quietness of the sanctuary, asking you that you speak to us in a miraculous way, so that when we leave this place, we'll know more about being trained as one of yours and to be able to fight the good fight. So with that, Lord, I ask that all distractions be done away with, that as I speak, I listen to you, and that you will speak through me in a mighty way that will help us learn how to live this life as a Christian in this culture. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said. Amen. Amen. As a refresher on 2 Timothy, we need to remember that Paul knows that his execution is quickly approaching and that his life on earth is soon to end. He is in a Roman prison, chained to a Praetorian guard 24/7. 2 Timothy is many times is thought of as Paul's last will and testament to a young Timothy, who is the pastor of the church in Ephesus. As you know from reading 2 Corinthians, Paul is a hardened soldier. He's fought the battle. He's fought the fight. And now he instructs. He hands the sword over to Timothy. And to tell Timothy, remember what you've been taught. It's important. Remember what you've been taught. And he says to entrust what you've been taught to others. So not only is he reminded to remember what he's taught, but to teach others so that he can build an army together, an army for Christ. So from 2 Timothy chapter 2, we learn a little bit about the characteristics of being a warrior, of being a soldier. So let's review that with point one. The first characteristic of a warrior is that he and she endures hardship. And you say, what's that all about? I'm a Christian. I should have a new job. I should have a new car. I should have this. What's this endure hardship stuff? What's the deal with hardship? Well, if you're going to be a soldier for Christ, I'm sorry. You're going to be in that helicopter landing behind enemy lines. I'm sorry. If you're really going to fight the fight, it's not going to be easy. And I'm sorry. You might not be rich and own a new car. That's not to say God won't provide all that to us, but it also tells us there will be some hardships that will come our way. So like any other soldier, we need to live the life and we need to train at being a model or example and be able to take the difficult road of sacrifice. Can we do that, church? Yeah, it's awful quiet, isn't it? Can we do that, church? Okay, we can. Soldier's way of life is demanding, and if we go outside our comfort zone, we do expose ourselves. But you know, Christ tells us to reach out to the poor, to go where no other man went before. That was probably in the Bible before Star Trek was out. But that's what it... So, you know, being in ministry means we have to go to a lot of different places to reach out to a lot of various people. People that are sick, people that are poor, people that have struggles, people that are depressed, and yes, people that are angry. And those are the same people that Paul went after. Same people. We won't always be liked nor welcomed from those around us. And certainly there will be spiritual warfare and there will be Satan that's at our door trying to hold us back. And Paul's there to remind us of that, to endure hardship, endure it, fight the good fight, be prepared, train hard for it. Number two, a soldier for Christ avoids worldly entanglement. Let's not get entangled in other stuff. So many times our focus is on, you know, working 24/7 and not on God, given our being entangled in political issues and not being focused on God, being entangled with neighbors and friends and not being focused on God. Paul didn't say don't work because he was a tent maker, but what he's saying, don't let that entangle you because your purpose is to glorify God. That's our purpose. And all those things are okay unless they entangle you. They catch you up. You ever see fishing wire that's all tangled up? Imagine yourself right in the middle of that fishing wire. That's what those civilian things do to you. We need to be focused and not be entangled. The phrase get involved means get all tangled up in the non-essentials of life. we need to sometimes detach ourselves from the things and or from the things and distractions of the world. We really got to pull back. We really do. Because we're a nation of obsessions, aren't we? We are. And the only thing that Christ wants us to do is to be obsessed with Him. I guarantee everything else comes along. Everything else seems to smooth itself out. And you know what? Later on, it becomes no big thing. No big thing. Number three, a soldier for Christ magnifies Christ. Let's read 2 Timothy 8:9. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Don't get entangled, but let's be focused on who our Savior is. Let's be focused that He died for us and He was raised again. Let's be focused that it was prophesied in the Old Testament that this Christ, Messiah, would come and be an offspring of David. And Paul is saying, this is my gospel. This is my gospel. Jesus in me that has changed me, that gave me a new life. That's my gospel that I'm going to suffer for. Because no one's going to take that away. No one's going to take it away. And that's what he's saying here. He says, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. What did I tell you about Paul at this time? He was chained to, what, a Praetorian guard? How long? 24/7. And guess what? He might have been chained, but the word of God was never chained. I love it. I just picture Paul because he's such an optimist when it comes to opportunity. You know, he's chained to a Praetorian guard who's a royal guard of the Romans. And this is a guard that's always in the palace with royalty. And he could have said, woe is me, chained to a Praetorian guard, but he's probably there. If you died today, do you know where you would be going? He might have been chained, but the word of God was never chained up. Never, ever chained up. David Guzik points out that the Bible has been attacked more than any other book through history. It has been burned, banned, mocked, twisted, and ignored, but the word of God still stands forever. Amen? Most popular book in the whole world. Most popular book. Number four, a good soldier focuses on the army, the battalion, the team, the squad. A good soldier focuses on that. 2 Timothy 2:10 says this, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. He's saying we're in this together. And so I am enduring for the sake of all of you. I'm enduring for the sake of the body of Christ. I'm enduring this so that you will see an example. I'm enduring so that you can cling to the gospel as I have clung to the gospel. That you too may not only obtain salvation, but to grow. And that's what he's saying to Timothy. He's saying, my goodness, I'm enduring, you endure too, for the sake of the body of Christ. First on a battlefield, last off. Right, guys? That's Paul enduring for the sake of the elect. The elect is the body of Christ. All of you who have accepted Christ that want to get in the battle. Those that are being baptized and saying, I made that commitment. I'm signing up. I'm enlisting. So that they may too attain salvation in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Not only does that team work together, side by side, become a band of brothers, that's what a church does. But guess what? We're going to see each other in eternity. Nothing will separate us. Nothing separates us from the love of God. Nothing separates us as Christians. And that's eternal. Do I hear amen on that? I'll see all of you in heaven. Isn't that great? I hope to see all of you in heaven. Okay, last item. A good soldier also trusts the commander. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. A good soldier trusts a commander. The best commanders, like I said before, are the ones that are first on the battlefield and the last off. Isn't that true? First on the battlefield, last off. Who was the first one to sacrifice us, or sacrifice himself for us? Christ Jesus. First on. He was the first one to say, okay, I'm going to sacrifice my life for all of you. That's the example that he sets. He's trustworthy. And if we died with him on that cross, if we are able to give ourselves to him, we will also live with him. Don said he lived in darkness. Now he sees the light. Right, Don? Yeah. That's the transformation of dying to self and living in him, of dying for him and having resurrected life. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Isn't that great? If we endure this life here, if we hang in there, we will reign with him. And there might even be some jewels for our crown. Isn't that great? Some jewels for our crown. The Bible tells us that. But if we disown him, he will also disown us. For those that don't know him, he does not have a relationship with them. Disowning doesn't pertain to the believer. Disowning pertains to those that are AWOL. What's AWOL? Absent without leave. And there are many non-believers that are absent without leave. Doesn't mean he doesn't pursue them. It doesn't mean he doesn't love them. But they're not part of the army. They're not part of the body of Christ. But if we are faithless, and how many here are faithless sometimes? You lack faith sometimes. Okay, come on. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful. Don't you like that? If we are faithless, if we're people of little faith, it doesn't change how he reacts to us, and he will continue to be faithful to us, and he will not disown us. Boy, that's a big amen for me. I don't know about you guys, but that's a big amen with me. He will not disown us. But there are some times we're not sure, but he is sure about us, and he's sure about himself. You can't out-faith God. I like that. You can't out-faith God because he's more faithful. I read where it says that his faithfulness to us does not rely on our performance, but relies on his faithful nature. Not us, but his faithful nature. I got to give an amen to that. So in closing, let's just show a cartoon here. I always end with a cartoon, whether it pertains or not. The new chaplain exceeds expectations. Oops. By the way, that's Charlie Chaplin for those. Yeah. Us older people know Charlie Chaplin. Not the right chaplain. I hope that all of you will exceed expectations. I'm praying that all of you will be able to endure hardship and still fight the fight for Christ. I just pray that when our helicopter lands, that we will be able to fight the battle bravely. And guess what? Even if they kill us, we win because we have eternal life just waiting for us. And we will reign with the King. And it doesn't get any better than that. So where are all of you? Are you mighty men or women of valor, ready to fight the fight? Fight the good fight for Christ. Where are you? Think about that. Are you ready to endure hardship? That's a toughie. Are we ready to avoid worldly entanglement that just takes us away from our focus with God? Are we ready to make Christ the center of our lives? I've spoken this. I know some of the guys from the 12-step program. We've talked about this. The center of our lives. God has to be the center of our lives. Sort of like a wheel. A wheel with spokes coming out. It has to be the center of our life. God cannot be a spoke. God cannot be, I'll do this. Yeah, I'll go to church. Yeah, I'll talk to a few people. No. God has to be the center of our life and finances and at work and all those other things. God still has to be the center. Number three, are you ready to dedicate yourself to the body of Christ and know that we're a team and that without us doing things together, we're not as effective and we lose soldiers if we're not connected, if we don't fight the good fight together as a group. And last, are you ready to trust the Commander-in-Chief? The Commander-in-Chief that died for us on that cross so that we may live again. Are we ready to do that? And if you are, together, we have a lot of work to do in this town. We have a lot to do, with our families and friends that don't know Christ Jesus, that are AWOL spiritually. We have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work, including training one another, getting together to have Bible studies, getting together to fellowship and to talk about God. And we have a lot of work just here with our children. We have to give our children the foundations of our faith because we're only one generation away of losing Christianity altogether. So with that, dear warriors, are you ready? Okay, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We just thank you, Lord, that you have appointed us to carry that banner. You have appointed us to be your army, to teach one another and to grow in your grace and the knowledge of you. Help us, Lord, do this. Help us, Lord, stay united as a platoon of warriors ready to fight the good fight. Lord, I know this is hard for many of us. None of us like to endure hardship. But the good news is we know the end. We know the end of the book. And that is we will reign with you in glory forever and ever. So with that, dear Lord, I just ask that you protect us at the waterside and you protect this group of individuals, Lord. Just keep working in their lives so that we may fight the good fight. And so, Lord, we pray that you will encourage us, teach us, and help us to know how to be good soldiers. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.